I'm a Luddite.
I'm going to look forward to having my cell phone.
Well, you have cell phones at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So we'll do roll call?
Sure. Mr. Smuckler?
Here.
Ms. Fonzie?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here. All right, and we will open it up to public comment. I have two slips here. Bill Langford and then Kevin Wright.
For your consideration of the Schroeder article that essentially describes the action that was ordered by the majority of the APCD board on September 23rd, forced the clerk to enter false information into the public record. Also, my letter to the New Times, which said that, that Schroeder got it right. And I would just like to say this to Mr. Diddy. The public good is not served when saboteurs of government regulations, especially those regulations that protect public health, take away the public's right to know by forcing the stroke of a clerk's pen. So I'm just here to say that the majority should take back what they put in. They should remove this false entry, or else they should face the consequences, which are including the California Penal Code, Section 115A, which states, every person who knowingly, and how could you have not known, because the video is right there for you, procures or offers any false or forged instrument to be filed, registered, or recorded in any public office within the state, which instrument, if genuine, might be filed, registered, or recorded under any law of the state of the United States, is guilty of a felony. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Langford. Mr. Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Hill. I'll just state real briefly. It's been my opinion for quite a while that I didn't feel the board is fully informed on the litigation. And the cancellation of the closed session at the last meeting concerned me a little bit, although I know Mr. Baring did give a public briefing. But there's been maybe a dozen documents filed since the previous meeting, which has been quite a while. And I just encourage the executive committee to encourage closed session to take place anytime litigation is ongoing, and to encourage district counsel to make available to the board all of the filings and briefings, no matter how voluminous. It's my opinion when the issues and the money that are on the line, board members should be reading every one of those filings of the court and trying to understand what's going on and staying informed. So since the court hearing's been put off until after the next meeting, I expect that you'll be fully brought up to date in November. But I would like the board to consider being more on top of knowing what's going on with litigation. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no further requests to speak. We'll close public comment and bring it back to the executive committee to look at some business items. And our first one is the number one, the minutes from September's executive committee.
I move approval.
Second.
Okay. Approved by Ms. Fonzie and seconded by Mr. Smuckler. And if there's no objection, we'll take a voice vote. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it moves 3-0. And number two, we are going to look at the board meeting draft agenda. Okay, Larry?
Sure. Okay.
Mr. Rice, you wanted to speak on this. Do you want to speak after we go over?
Is that... I'll just weigh in real quickly.
Okay.
That's fine. So with the approval of the minutes, item 3 of the minutes from the last meeting speak to ex parte communications and an agreement that item will be brought at the November meeting, which I do not see on the draft agenda. I believe I'm likely to be opposed to that item, but I do like the board to be consistent with its actions, so maybe we can discuss that.
was going to discuss that.
Okay.
So
very good.
We have quite a full agenda for the November board meeting. And in light of what's at the end of the agenda, which is the a ride and drive for board members of alternative fuel vehicles, I thought it would be best to put the closed session at the front of the meeting so that we could get that done with and the board could go through their regular business and then adjourn to go out to the ride and drive. And your board can suggest that we change that. But
do we know how long the ride and drive is going to take?
Well, it's not mandatory, number one, but there are four vehicles, and I believe that they're all going to be electric vehicles, and it's in partnership with APCD and C5, Clean Cities Coalition, and the and so it's just totally depends on board member participation, but the thought is that the meeting would, because we hope that most of the board members will participate, we're not going to adjourn the meeting. We're going to move the meeting outside to that location. We're still working on that. And then I'm guessing it would be like a half an hour maybe or so. And like I said, it's completely voluntary. I don't think the drives will be for more than, you know, 5 minutes each, just to kind of get a feel for the cars, and so moving to that meeting, you know, the chair will just announce that we're going outside and that the meeting will then be adjourned at that location when it's completed. So we didn't really quite know how to handle that whole thing because we got the full board, so we didn't feel like Adam could adjourn the meeting and just go outside, because if we get a majority of the board participating, that would...
They're in separate vehicles, so there's no quorum, right?
They are separate vehicles. There's four separate vehicles. So I don't know.
There will be a quorum, though, when they all move over here.
Right.
So I think our thinking was, if less than a quorum want to go see it, then we adjourn the meeting at that point.
Right.
But if there is a quorum, I just assume err on the side of safety.
Right.
Adjourn the meeting over there and make it official, so that the public has a right to be here too.
Right.
So just curious why we wouldn't end with closed session before the drive.
Well, we can. I just, you know, I don't know how long closed session is going to go and what the mood of the board is going to be when they come out of it. And so, you know.
It's good to be paid.
Yeah. So my thought was, you know, put it up front. If you want to keep it at the end, that's fine with me. But we were hoping to keep the event intact, and thought that might be easier to do that way. But like I said, it's just a recommendation.
Personally, I think having the public sit there while we go to closed session in the beginning is not necessarily to their benefit. They're waiting for us. I'd rather have it at the end.
How long are we looking at? I mean, we have personnel matter. Do we have also any updates on legal
case matters? Has been put over until December, so I won't have anything substantive. There could be a short discussion, I suppose, by the board, but there's nothing else for us to do. It's been fully briefed, so I think that would be relatively short. So it's really the personnel matter that could take some time.
Yeah.
That's my sense.
I would rather engage with it in the morning. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Roberta, but it is a business meeting. And first and foremost, we need to conduct, and this is an important part of the business, and I want to make sure we have enough time for all the board members to be there. We've always had a little bit of a rush, but based on what happens by the end of the meeting.
Okay, I just need to disaccommodate all the people in the audience. We usually have
a few. I think it does make for an awkward public participation component, but it is a pretty sensitive and
important
issue. So. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to make a practice of it, but
no. And it's like I said, it's up to the board. If you know, we can move it to the end. I'm guessing none of the board members are going to opt out of it, right?
I don't think so.
Right. So if you think it's, I'll leave it up to you.
Really contentious it has been in the past, like is everybody stirred up before the meeting?
Yeah.
That's the downside too.
Right. So, okay, well, would you like to move it to the end?
I'm comfortable with where it is. I mean,
I can live with it. I just wouldn't want to see us do that on a regular basis.
Right. Okay, well, it's like I said.
But I could imagine you wanting to address it early because it adds to the tenor of the rest of the meeting to get that addition. Have the conversation and be able to work through any issues. So, you know, you're on clear ground. You probably have a lot of questions in your mind about input from the different evaluations. And
well, I haven't seen it. So.
Well, you probably will, is what I anticipate.
So, but just given the way, you know, the board dynamics have been, I'm guessing it's going to be, it might be a lengthy discussion.
Okay.
Okay, so then...
I wonder if we could move public comment up before it then, so those that come just for public comment could weigh in and then go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the presentation? Do that first, too, or just public comment?
Unless you're going to have family members there and they need to get back to school or wherever.
Well, I imagine his wife might be there. She would be the only one, so we could do that to move that forward.
Okay.
So what's the decision plan? Move public comment.
Public comment will be right after roll call. And then employee, well, maybe we do employee recognition first, mm-hmm. and do public comment, and then do closed session.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So on consent, the only thing on there. There's two action items on there. One is a proposal to add an air quality engineering / compliance technician position and delete an air quality engineer position. We have a retirement happening with one of our senior engineers this year, Paul Wrights, and we're proposing to replace that with an engineering technician. It will save us about a little over $40,000 a year to do that. And so we believe that will be a cost savings to the district, and we could use a technician position here and the opportunity for someone to actually move forward in the ranks after several years or something. And then the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Project, there are... there's about $33,000 in supplemental mitigation program funds because the first amount that was provided was based on an estimate of the total construction emissions, and then they're required to actually calculate them as we move through the project. They wound up having an additional 1.7 tons of emissions that weren't accounted for, and they chose to mitigate that through the mitigation fund. So there's going to be an extra $33,000 there, and we're going to be recommending putting it into the wood stove changeout program there, which was very successful and ran out of money almost immediately. Mm-hmm. So those are the two action items on consent. And then so we've got the other items. C1 is... consideration of appointments of hearing board members. We've had two applications. I believe your board has seen those already. That was all we got. So it should be primarily decision, and they both look qualified. So it's just the board deciding which one would be the regular and which one would be the alternate member. And then item C2, this is to consider a new Rule 224, federal requirements for new and modified major sources and non-attainment areas. This is a requirement from the Federal Clean Air Act. The EPA has been kind of hounding us for a while to adopt this for our non-attainment area, and it's a requirement in federal law. And it's really an administrative requirement where we have to identify and regulate major sources that in our area, and a major source is defined in the Federal Clean Air Act, depending on the severity of the non-attainment area. So our severity is marginal, and so a major source there is defined as 100 tons per year. There's only one source in the East County that qualifies for that, and that's the Chevron oil field that's out in the southeastern portion of, or the southwestern portion of the San Joaquin Valley. And they already comply with pretty much all the federal requirements. So it's really administrative. In effect, we're fortunate at our non-attainment rating because a major source in the San Joaquin Valley or the South Coast is 10 tons per year, which would affect a whole bunch of sources in our district. So that is very straightforward, nothing controversial there. Then we wanted to discuss with the board the new federal ozone standard that has been adopted. It brings the federal ozone standard down to the level of the state standard, 70 parts per billion. And fortunately, the only non-attainment area that we will still have, it still remains the East County, but EPA has indicated that they may not just give us our status quo on the non-attainment area, and we might have to convince them to keep it in the East County as opposed to the entire county. So we're talking to the board about that, and you know, that is certainly what we intend to do. So we'll talk about the new federal ozone standard and where we sit on that. And then just before the ride and drive is the presentation of the Tri-County Alternative Fuel Readiness Plan, which is, it's a plan we, last year, the last couple of years, we've been a participant with Ventura and Santa Barbara counties in the Electric Vehicle Readiness Plan, which is primarily a plan looking at the infrastructure needs for electric vehicles in the Tri-Counties area, and where charging stations could be installed and other infrastructure forms. And so this is basically expanding that to all forms of alternative fuels, compressed natural gas, and you know, ethanol, things like that. And so we're working with them on that, and then that would be followed by the ride and drive. So, and that's it.
Questions? So you're feeling like the ex parte conversation?
Oh yeah, sorry. So the ex parte, because of the length of the meeting, length of the number of items that are on there, and the fact that that conversation alone is likely going to be pretty substantial, could be well over an hour. And so we thought it would be better to push it to the January meeting perhaps, and give us more time to develop a recommendation for the board, and also more time on the agenda to actually discuss that, because I'm guessing that will be at least a two hearing item.
So do you want to put it on the agenda someplace and recommend continuation to
the
answer? Does it get lost in the ether?
I could. Is that?
I don't know that I mean, you could mention it in your
APCO's report. That's kind of what I thought, because I mentioned it the last time that we were directed by the executive committee to bring it back in November. And then just given the length of the board meeting here, we thought it best to just push that to January. So unless the executive committee wants to see that item on the agenda, if you did, that might be the only item that we put under the hearing portion of it. But, you know, we do want to take some time to, you know, really pull together what we hope is a solid recommendation for the board. And and so hopefully, you know, the January agenda won't be jam-packed with things.
Didn't your staff send out, you know, somebody send out inquiries to all of the cities?
I did.
The counties.
And
so we haven't gotten policies back from them yet?
We got a few back.
We did get two responses back, one from the city of Atascadero and one from the city of Paso Robles.
Okay, so we have some from those. And we had one from
City
of San Luis Obispo already. So we have three. And I don't know if other jurisdictions have them or not. So, but, you know, one of the things that, for instance, the city of Atascadero, and I've spoken with you about this, Roberta, before, is you have what you call your council norms, which is completely different, separate from actually the two items that were requested to be put on the agenda, but they seem really good in terms of, you know, the way board members respond to each other in public settings, the way they respond to staff, the way they interact with staff, you know, outside of the board meetings in terms of who they go through and so forth, and you know, seem to be like a lot of good recommendations in there. So, and
does the board of supervisors have something similar that you adopt? Do you have strategic planning or others where you discuss meetings and
we have rules of procedure, and we did add an ex parte element this year, actually, on quasi-judicial decisions.
That might be helpful, too, for any
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
We can get.
So does the executive committee agree to move it to January?
I'm fine with that. I just didn't want somebody to come to the meeting and think that it's going to be at this meeting. So if it's more certain to have it in the agenda or doesn't
matter. Well, I could certainly put it in there and just say, you know, recommend continuation to January. Mm-hmm. And that way, since I told the board it was coming, I mean, that's an easy enough thing to do. If that makes you comfortable.
I don't think it would hurt to do that.
Okay.
Just put that on consent.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Other questions, comments? So put the next agenda. Okay. With that, we've got closed session. I guess we'll open it to public comment. Is there any? I don't have a slide.
You know, I'll just speak to procedural issue. I'm hoping the clerk is going to get the report out because I don't know how long this is going to go on, so I'm not going to stick around. But if I may call you either before business hours or tomorrow and get the report out.
Are you referring to
the report out of the closed session?
Oh, sure. Yes.
So, this could be an hour, I don't know.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Miss, yes, please.
How does one get something on that agenda? I would like to have the APCD board majority undo the falsification of the minutes. I don't even see a procedure in place to do that. Is there one?
There really isn't. The board took a final action, as I understood it, whether we agree with the action or not, but that's what it did. I suppose a member of the public could raise it during public comment, and the board could direct us to bring it back to the board for further consideration.
So this would be the wrong place to have this committee recommend that it go on the agenda.
It's up to this. I think it's up to the executive committee.
Well, I would like to ask this executive committee to put it on the agenda. These are very serious matters. It has to do with the public's right to know. And it has been violated by your board big time, and it's public out there. Everybody knows it. And for you not to do anything is just to be ignoring the responsibility to the public's right to know.
If you wouldn't mind, I've been seeking out. I'll ask Mike. Thank you, Dr. Langford. I'll go to my colleagues. I'm never like to get us back into this, but I thought it was a pretty sad and disturbing spectacle myself, and I thought, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know that revisiting is going to make people, still kind of a shocking development, quite frankly, to take
Adam,
something.
Why don't you go back and refresh my memory? Because I was sick that day, and mm-hmm. I wasn't present at that particular meeting. Can mm-hmm. you tell me from your perspective what happened?
There was a motion made and eventually adopted to change the minutes to reflect something that didn't actually occur. And that, to me, is a lot of problematic things, not... You know, certainly I haven't looked at any of the legal aspects of it. I just think that having a 20-minute discussion on whether something did or did not happen when the record showed that it did not happen, as was the board's majority vote, I don't really think that serves the public interest whatsoever. It serves perhaps some narrow political interests, though I don't even understand those interests, quite frankly. But, you know, if the desire is to continue to make the meetings these kind of raucous, contentious, you know, then they serve that purpose.
What
but
was the
6-5, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. There was a desire at some point to actually just let a transcript of the actual record be the thing, but that wasn't agreed upon by the 6 votes. So I actually don't. I'm not real fond of seeing our meetings politicized all the time, but I've also come to the realization that it's never going to stop until, I don't know. But so I do think it was an embarrassing and unnecessary episode, but at the same time, I'm not really thrilled to relive it either.
Is there any reason to believe the vote would be different?
I don't believe the vote would be different if we voted on a variety of things, so yeah, no. But that, you know, whether it serves the public's interest is another story. I mean, we're for one member of the
just
public.
Just because it's politicizing.
Well, I've heard from a lot of people that they thought they were shocked by what they read had occurred. So, Noah, you were there.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would make me think it'd be worthwhile to put it back on the agenda, like, if we did, I would do it with a recommendation that we simply insert this transcript of the event, try to be clean about it. That way, coming from the executive committee, would be if you, Roberta, would be comfortable with that as a recommendation, because as the debate went, I don't see any different outcome. So it seems like
I feel like I need to recuse myself and go back and look at the tape. I have not done that and should have, but you realize it was something that.
Mr. Barron, do you have any regarding the penal code section that's been raised here, the implication of what occurred?
I'd have to look at this more closely, but I am familiar with this code section, the penal code. This really pertains to filing false deeds and documents with the clerk's office and ministerial rules. I don't think it applies to adoption of that, so I don't think you're facing it. Personally, any felony charges. But what you could do, if you wanted to, is direct your staff, maybe add it to the agenda to have the staff prepare the actual transcript of what happened in the meeting and dispute and put it on the agenda. If somebody wants to pull it from the consent calendar and discuss it, they could.
If I might weigh in on that a little bit, if Ray doesn't believe that section of the law actually applies, and I think it would be good to get a more formal read.
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Not the penal code.
Right. You know, there's enough divisiveness on the board right now, and why add something that's going to cause more? And for
an uncertain outcome. And, you know, it was, I personally believe that the minutes should not be modified by anyone other than the clerk going through and telling the board, you know, what is there. I think that's kind of legally what is appropriate. I got phone calls from actually a few city and county clerks saying what was going on there. We've reviewed it. We didn't see that interruption occur, and why did you allow them to state something like that in the minutes? And so they took offense at that, our board took that action. And I think it would be, I don't think it's appropriate to have this discussion at the next meeting, but if that does ever come up again, I do believe that that discussion should be, it would be warranted to talk about what's appropriate and not regarding the minutes, because they are a legal document.
Right.
Fortunately, we have video, so you can go to the video and look, and anyone can see that for themselves.
Right.
So, but...
Well, appealing to the thing that Roberta is keen on is that quite a few members of the public contacted us, too, and said that they were... what's the best way to put it? Disturbed by that. And so I'm with you, Larry, in the sense I'm not looking for more opportunities, but I honestly don't see anything that's any meeting that will be free of this divisiveness.
So why add something to it that we know will just increase it? Is more.
I guess we'll let the...
I think it would be helpful to have some clarification for the future, however, the clerk, if this is the case, has the ability to write it as they see it, unless there's a spelling error or name or
Either
omission or addition.
That's our policy in Morro Bay.
Right, and typically the policy is to direct the clerk to go back and review the transcripts or the tape or whatever and come back with a corrected version.
And that wasn't in the motion that passed?
No, that motion failed.
Right,
because minutes generally aren't controversial, shouldn't they?
No.
That's correct, and they have no real legal significance other than their shorthand version of what happened. If we end up in litigation, it's the transcript that matters to me, not the minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah, because we do action minutes, so they really don't report the full discussion that took place. It just
So the minutes, if they use the transcript, it doesn't matter.
So we will.
Right, yeah, and anyone can go back and look at that. I just feel like it would not serve the public or the board or anybody to go back through that. It was painful.
And I think it's received enough attention in the public through the media and so forth that the comments and the decisions should stand as they were and move on.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
Ms. Langford's point is well taken. Mm-hmm. I'll take a look.
If there's anything else in there,
I think it's something I'll bring it up during council
comment. Okay. Thank you. So with that, if you don't mind, we're going to go into closed session.
Much.
Thank you.
We have the conference room inside reserved. So we're going to go over there.
Okay.
So we'll
all right.
More sound.
So we'll go over to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would anyone like some water or anything like that?
Yeah.
I'm set. Thanks,
okay.